Hey, everybody. It's In the Word Podcast with Will and Marie. I'm Will.
And I'm Marie.
And we are happy to be sharing with you the Word of God from the Gospel of Luke. I'm excited. It's been a little while, hasn't it, Marie?
Yes, it's been a long while.
Yeah, but God is good, and we're glad to be back sharing with you. I pray that someone is listening and enjoying it, and we're just looking forward to going through these verses in Luke 7, probably 36 through 39, but we may look at some other things here in episode 283. We're going to be talking about this Pharisee by the name of Simon, and we're going to be talking about a woman who is unnamed. Just as an opener, Marie, what do you think about, what do you think about when you hear the term Pharisee anyway, just in general? We don't hear it much in 2026, but when you hear Pharisee mentioned or see it in Scripture, what's the first thought that comes to your mind?
Pharisee, first thought, bad.
Yeah, I was going to say the first thought that comes to my mind when I think of the word Pharisee is hypocrite.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think in Hebrew or Greek, it actually means isolated. Oh. These were the separated ones or isolated ones, but not always for a good reason, you know, always for the best. So
that type of living, too, you know, the way that things, you know, that things were set up, the way that people lived and all of that thing, and like you're saying, the Pharisees and how they treated people or whatever. It's,
right.
Yeah, it's, we have that, we have a certain type of living.
A Pharisee,
like that.
Yeah, we have people that are considered isolationist, people that just kind of like keep to themselves. Some of them, to me, have a holier-than-thou attitude, like, you know, they're right and everybody else is wrong,
right,
or they're better than everybody else spiritually, or they're more holy than everybody. And it doesn't even have to be an isolationist. I guess it can be even people in the Christian community, in the body of Christ, in our local churches that have this air of superiority when it comes to spiritual things.
And sometimes you don't even recognize those, like, you know, in certain churches and all of that, you know, they have their way of thinking and judging and all of that thing. And so it's just, that's the way our church has always been, or our house has always been, or whatever it might be. So, but they're just missing out on, you know, the real meaning of what Christ is trying to give us, what he's trying to get us to believe and to accept and to live.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me just read a couple of verses and then we'll talk about it. Luke 7:36 says this. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to have dinner with him. So Jesus went to his home and sat down to eat. When a certain immoral, the New Living says immoral, I think other translations like the KJV or the NASB might say sinful, etc. From that city heard he was eating there. She brought a beautiful alabaster jar filled with expensive perfume. Let me just pause there just to make sure that this doesn't get confused with the other incident where someone, I believe it was Mary, brought an alabaster vase or jar of oil filled with very expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus and anointed Jesus with it. And, you know, we know that story, but that passage. But I would say that this is different. In this particular case, the woman is not named. I don't think that the details of this event are the same as that. This is at Simon the Pharisee's house. This other occasion happened at someone else's home, and Judas was there. He complained about the waste in terms of expense. It could have been sold, and the money could have been used to feed the poor, et cetera. But this is interesting. It says in verse 38 here of Luke 7, then she knelt behind him at his feet, weeping. Her tears fell on his feet, and she wiped them off with her hair. Wow. Then she kept kissing his feet and putting perfume on them. When the Pharisee who invited him, him being Jesus, saw this, he said to himself, now he didn't say this out loud, supposedly, but to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. She's a sinner.
That's really something.
And let's just stop right there. That's verse 39. So we read three verses, four verses, 36, 37, 38, 39. What's your just initial take on that, any part of that that just stands out to you,
just
Marie?
So judgmental, number one. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. I mean, the way she must, to me, the way she must have felt in her heart towards him to kiss his feet. And
yeah,
I mean, that just moves me. That is like,
yeah.
That's yeah. like next level, in my opinion.
Right, right. And you know, it's interesting that in this particular passage, Luke, who was a medical doctor by vocation, he names Simon the Pharisee, but obviously under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because all scriptures are inspired, he doesn't name the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because she ends up being the hero in this particular account. And Simon, who is named, and his position, by the way, is named too as a Pharisee, which means that he had some standing in the community. He was wealthy enough to have this, you know, outdoor courtyard type of arrangement for dining and having right. guests. I mean, he's apparently a man of means. Those were typically the kind of people that would have these sorts of gatherings of VIPs or whatever, dignitaries. But you know, he's named and she isn't named. I the thing that stands out to me right off the bat, before we even, in which we won't get into in this episode, but hopefully in the episodes to come, is that just because you're not named doesn't mean you're not important to Jesus.
Right.
And just because no one knows your name, or you feel like you're just a nobody or an insignificant, whatever you might be feeling in terms of self-esteem, don't worry. God knows exactly who you are. He knows what you're going through. He knows where you've been, where you come from, and where you're going.
Amazing. We sometimes forget that. That mm-hmm. is very powerful. That is something to remember and to hear about, because it's so true. Give God all the credit, because he is always working on our behalf. He just loves us and cares for us. And as the pastor's saying, you know, we just can count on him.
Yeah.
We can count on
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Trust and never doubt.
Right. Right. And and there's this great passage that probably a lot of you that are listening are familiar with, and it's Psalms 139.
Oh yeah.
Where the Lord tells us exactly how he feels about us and mm-hmm. how important we are. And I think that it should be something that you read at times when you're going through, when you don't feel like...
And I'm guilty of that. I have to admit, I'm guilty of going to that. And there's often times when I really need to go to it.
Right, right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because we're important to the Lord.
Yes.
And he says so many good things in this chapter, but we'll just read just a couple of the good things. It says that Psalms 139. Mm-hmm. So he says things like
even that first verse.
Yeah, the first verse.
Thou hast searched me and known me.
Right.
Yes, know my down sitting and my uprising, and understands my thought from afar.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's just the beginning.
But the verse that when I brought up Psalms 139, the one that I was thinking about, I just didn't know exactly which verse by heart, even though I know what the verse says by heart,
mm-hmm.
is verse 14, mm-hmm. which says, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. And that my soul knoweth right
mm-hmm.
well. He says, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which is constant, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, great is the sum of them. So I the thing that I love about that, Ree, is that the Lord is saying, hey, every last one of you, even if no one knows your name, even if you have physical disabilities, deformities, shortcomings, deficiencies, even if you're unpopular, unknown, even if you don't have the status of this Simon, this Pharisee, God knows you. He made you. He created you in your mother's womb when you weren't even completely developed. He knew you and formed you. And I think Psalms 139 should, everyone should take solace in the fact that we have immeasurable value. We have great value. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Hebrews suggest in the terminology that God wove us together as a seamstress or a tailor would build or make or deal with fabric. It just suggests personal touch. It suggests uniqueness, individuality, complexity. God's purpose was intentional. His design was specific for us. We weren't just, you know, happenstance or coincidence or the byproduct of a union of a man and a woman. We were made in his image, according to Genesis 1:26. So I think this is a great passage. And the woman's name may not have been given, but boy, oh boy, did God know her name.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Simon's name was given, but boy, did he have a lot of shortcomings, and which we'll deal with in another episode. So let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time together. We thank you for teaching us your word and giving us a desire for your word. We ask you to allow it to change us, and we want it to be transformative. We want it to be active and effective in our lives so that we will glorify you, Lord, and that others will be edified by your work through us. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name,
yes,
amen.
Amen.
We'll see you next time on In the Word with Will and Marie.